Blog Talk Radio.
I want to lose. I want to win.
I need professional help.
Sports Betting Weekly.
I win here and I win there. Now what?
Sports Betting Weekly.
I want to win.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talk.
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Wow, winning.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome to Sports Betting Weekly. I am second half Chaz. And over the next 60 minutes, we're going to cover as many opinions as 1 hour can handle. And if you want to get involved, give us a call, 646-929-1298, 646-929-1298. As always, our email is show@sportsbettingweekly.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, check out what we've got to say there. It's at SB Weekly. Now, before we get into this week, we're going to talk a little bit last week, and more importantly, we're going to talk with Mo. Mo, are you there?
I hear you loud and clear.
How you doing this morning?
Oh, you know, early up on a Saturday morning. I can't figure out a better way than talking about sports betting with you.
Yeah, and it really is. It's a pretty busy day today. There's, you know, Major League Baseball. There's NBA playoffs. There's some hockey. There's a big UFC pay-per-view. 186 is on tonight. And then next week is really exciting because next week, the Kentucky Derby and the fight, the big Pacquiao-Mayweather fight.
Yeah, is that like almost like Christmas for you again with the Kentucky Derby and a huge boxing?
Yeah, well, the only problem is I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it up until Santa gets here because Tommy says that kind of fight, by the time they get to it, it's going to be midnight East Coast time, which will be 9 o'clock out here. And the Kentucky Derby day for us, we have a serious party in it. It does take a while. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about last week because remember when we talked on last week's show, I said how, you know, when we have the football season and there's four of us, almost every week somebody gets hot. But last week, Mo, it was amazing. It was like they didn't give out any losers, these guys. And not one of them was my selection, which is even better for me because, you know, as the host, this way I got nothing to lose. But it was just an amazing week for him, wasn't it?
But you realize at this rate, by the time football season rolls around, Sloppy's head's going to be so big you're going to be able to put the phone up to it anymore.
Well, yeah, and I totally forgot that the week before he had bet the Masters guy and cashed that ticket as well when the Justin Spieth or whatever his name is, I think I mispronounced it last time too, won the Masters. He had him early, and he just sat around and watched him go wire to wire. That's the one thing you're not going to get next week. You don't get wire-to-wire Kentucky Derby winners. It's just not possible because these horses have never gone an hour and a quarter. And so I think what we're going to do next week, Mo, is we're going to do 30 minutes with the horse race and then 30 minutes with the fight. And I don't think we're going to cover any NBA playoffs. It's not like they're in the finals. They who knows, at the rate they're going, they could still have some of these things in the first round, even though when Sloppy and I talked, and we'll go over that a little bit later in the show, we had a pretty good, I think it was 10-0, so there have been 10 games, and one team, you know, every team that had won one game won every game they played so far, so that was on what was on the card for Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see. But he definitely picked some winners, didn't he? He sure did.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I mean, this event could be the biggest sporting event of the century, let alone this year. I mean, we've been waiting for this fight for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. So I hope it lives up to the billing. I hope it's close enough that they decide they want to do a rematch. I hope it's not, you know, very one-sided. I hope it's close. But, you know, this could be the biggest sporting event, you know, maybe the last big fight we ever see.
Yeah, and I heard you talk about it this week on the BS Sports Show with you and Billy, and one of the things I wonder is if these guys have any hindsight about, you know, what we shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, because coulda, shoulda, woulda is a tough way to go through life, Mo. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about sports betting or dating chicks. It doesn't really matter what you're talking. Woulda, shoulda, coulda will kill you, you know. But they've lost
right.
a lot of money.
Well, you know, Mayweather still got paid a lot. And I think for him at the time, I mean, you know, Pacquiao was maybe arguably better, the better fighter. And I think for him it was all about legacy. And so it wasn't wise for him to fight him at that point because, you know, he damn sure could have lost. But now, you know, he's made his money and it built up so much that this, you know, I don't know that they get $10,000 a ticket 5 years ago. But now it's been built up and, you know, maybe they did it right. But they're not each at the height of their game anymore. And for Mayweather, I think that'll be an asterisk when you talk about best fighters ever because he didn't fight Pacquiao when he was in his prime.
And, again, like you said, you know, maybe you'll get a rematch, but if they did it 5 years ago, you could have, you know, Rocky VII.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, and so then, you know, later on we got Billy coming on with UFC, and though he didn't have a perfect day, because he doesn't bet on the UFC fight, it's a little unique. He just says the way he's going to see the fight. And then I look down at the sports book sheet, and I say, okay, well, on this one, it's 2.5 of the 3 rounds, or it's 1.5 of the 3 rounds, or it's 4.5 of the 5 rounds, or whatever. And so he just went on a tear with that. And then Tommy's going to come on, and Tommy's going to do Tommy's going to actually be on next. He's going to do some Major League run lines again. Well, last week his run line parlay lost, but he gave out 4 winners. So he gave us, he said he likes the Cubs over the Padres and the Dodgers over the Diamondbacks and take the over in both games. And it was a brutal way to lose because, if you remember, the Cubs had to go extra innings to beat the Padres.
They did. And, you know, as a Cubs fan, it's always brutal when it goes extra innings if you're watching a Cubs fan.
Well, especially when you just gave up a 4-run lead, right? But
yep,
if the game ends after just 1 or 2 of those runs, you would have hit the over and the Cubs. So and the week before or two, the final 4 week, he gave the same thing. He bet the first half. He gave up 4 winners. So really, in the last 8 or 10 picks he's given us, I don't think he's given us a loser. But he hasn't cashed because he does that sixbetsagame.com thing. And sometimes, you break even. If all you do is bet the game, you win. But if you bet the first half in the game, you split. But, of course, sometimes, as you know, they win the first half and they don't win the game, and it's a whole other story. So we're looking forward to a good day talking about all these things. And it really is. When you walk into the sports book this morning and you look up at the board, you're going to see just a lot of light bulbs lit. There's a lot of activity. And looking forward to it. Anything this weekend, specifically today, Saturday, that you're looking at?
I'll tell you, I like a couple of things. I think Golden State continues to win games. You know, New Orleans is kind of close. New Orleans blew a 20-point lead at home the other night, and, it took Golden State overtime and winning by a couple points. So those have been larger point spreads. I like New Orleans to keep it close, and Boston has kept it close every game. You know, like I told you a couple of weeks, I thought they would. I didn't think they would win the series or even win a game, but they've kept it close, under double digits almost every game. So those are two teams that, you know, I like the fight in those two teams. I don't see them as teams folding up and quitting. Brooklyn is a team I think will shut it down, down 3-0. I think they'll shut it down as they have. And Toronto has been a huge disappointment so far. Washington continues to just walk all over Toronto, and now Washington moves that series to home. I like Washington, against Toronto. They've played them very well, you know, a couple of years now in a row.
And that's the funny part about it. It really is. When you listen to traditional sports talk radio, they're talking about wins and losses. Your team could have just gotten swept in a 4-game series, 7-game series. They lost all 4. And everybody in your world is, you know, what do we got to do to fix this? What do we got to do to get to the next round? But they covered all 4 games, and all you're doing is going to Western Union or cashing at the sports book because that's all that matters is when they play the games with the point spread is did they cover?
Well, I'll tell you, that does. If your team gets swept in a playoff series, it does make it easier if you made money off them the whole time.
And it's hard, as you know, because You know, that, and that gets back to what you and I have talked about for years now. That's that betting with your heart and betting with your head. And it's a difficult thing to do, especially in a league where a good chunk of the teams in the East didn't win more games than they lost. And they're in the playoffs.
The problem is, too, if you're going to listen to local sports radio in the town of where your team plays at and you're betting on them, that's even worse because local sports radio people will convince you that regardless that your team has a chance this game. So listening to a local sports show when you're thinking about betting your team is the worst you can do because it's their job, because you know they have close relationships with all their local teams to make you think they're going to win the game, and that can you know steer you in the wrong direction a lot of times.
And it's true because you know we deal with that with my wife Vicky and the Chargers during the regular season. They want them to win so bad that it allows them to just kind of put on blinders, you know.
Well, I'm sure out there in San Diego, the local sports guys tell you every week why the Chargers are going to win this game. And obviously, we know they don't win every week, so that's their job is to convince you how the Chargers will win this week.
Yep, it's interesting. But that's what the against the spread world is like, Mo. It's just a little bit different world. And, you know, I got the bug a long time ago, but first thing I do is if I walk in a bar and there's a game on, I look at the game for a while, I kind of figure out who's playing. You know, what the score is, what time of the game is, and then the next question inevitably is, hey, anybody know the line on this game? Because that, to me, is really all that matters. And with football especially, the line is, and that's, I think, why football is king in America, Mo, is the line, you can be in trouble. You can be in trouble because of the line, because in football there's certain things you don't do. You know, you don't try to score if you can get that first down. So if you need points, you need them to score because if they get the first down, they're going to kneel. Things like that. You don't, you know, sometimes in basketball at the end, they'll dribble around, you know. Hockey, the games are almost always very close, especially once you make it through those first rounds and you get the quality teams left. Those are 2-1 games. And, you know, you got a shot at getting an open, empty net goal at the end, but very seldom do you have a team that's killing time because they're up by a lot, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you one thing to look forward to this week for me is if you're betting on baseball, the Tigers started off hot as the hottest team in baseball, and for the last four games, their pitching staff has fallen apart. Their ace, David Price, got rocked and was taken out in four innings the other day by the Yankees. You can get David Price on the cheap this week because he's gotten lit up in his last start, and the pitching staff has gotten lit up by the Tigers these last four starts. You can get David Price on the cheap. That'd be a good bet this week because you don't see David Price have a lot of bad games back to back, but he got hit and hit hard by the Yankees this week. So if you can get him on the cheap this week, it would definitely be a good play. And if it's not, if it's still a risky bet, stay away from it because the Tigers have been getting rocked lately. But I like David Price if you can get him cheap this week. You know, where normally it's you got to bet a lot to win a little. If you can get a good price on David Price this week, it might be worth a few extra bucks.
And you're absolutely right that will happen. You know, the people are going to follow what happened in the last game. And so you can get a pitcher. We talk about all the time with Tommy on the run line parlays. You can get a pitcher who's, you know, minus 270 or minus 280 and get it down to, you know, minus 140 or minus 150. And so if the same thing happens to him when he's pitching because he's coming off a loss, you know what? It makes it a little easier to put the bet down, Mo, because as we both agree that when you have to risk that much, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, against the Yankees this week, he didn't just get beat. He got his ass kicked. He didn't even make a four inning. So, you know, this is definitely a game, his next start, that I would be watching very closely because, you know, like you said, if you can lower that and you can get a good price on David Price, it's worth taking a chance. You know, if you got a little bit of your what-the-hell money lying around, it's a great time to take a chance on that.
Yeah, when you've got the elite pitchers, going off at such high odds, you know, you have to win 80% to break even. And that, you know, that's not too many bets where you're going to win 80%. So it's just a tough, tough way to make a living. Anyway,
everybody on the Mets right now, even the guys you've never heard of, are all pitching out of their minds. You know, they just the other day got their 11-game win streak snapped by the Yankees, but there are even guys who, you know, haven't heard of are pitching out of their mind. So I would watch the Mets pitchers, too. If you can get a good price on some of those third and fourth starters, guys who are just pitching amazing right now, throw some money on those guys, too.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk to Tommy about that in after this break, because what happens is the pitchers right now are starting to see 3-0s. You're gonna see 4-0s. You know what? You got a couple choices. You could say, hey, you know, I never heard of this guy. Who is this guy to be 4-0? But in baseball, if your pitcher's 4-0 and you bet him four times, you won four times. If you're just betting the pitcher, there's no points. So in that respect, you're absolutely right. You want to hop on there and find those pitchers and get them when you can get them without giving a lot of dollars to win 10, you know?
I hear you, man. I hear you.
As always, we appreciate Mo from Mo Radio and the BS Sports Show. I know that you've got a busy week ahead of you, so we appreciate you taking the time this morning.
My pleasure as always.
All right, we'll talk soon. And when we get back, we've got, remember, today we've got UFC 186, NBA playoffs, and Tommy will join us with some money run lines, Major League Baseball run lines. You're listening to Sports Betting Weekly.
At championshipfootballs.com, we offer a 100% money-back guarantee on every single souvenir football that we sell. It's simple. The coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. There's nothing worse than trying to find the right gift for someone, whether that special gift is for a Ravens fan or a Packers backer. Maybe Gramps is a lifelong Giants supporter, or your friend lives in Seattle. Know a member of the Spartan Alumni Association? Is there a better Father's Day gift for a Florida State fan? Send them the coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed. Sorry, we can't help you if you follow the Buffalo Bills or the San Diego Chargers. If you're a New Mexico State or a Tulane alumnus, not much we can do. After all, it's not pretty close to winningfootballs.com. It's championshipfootballs.com. The coolest present they'll open that day, guaranteed.
Hey, it's Mo from the Mo Radio Show. If you're betting on football but not winning as much as you would like, then you really need to start using the data from sixbetsagame.com. I've been talking with Second Half Chaz every week for a year now, and the information he has given the listeners on my show has been pretty amazing. Whether it was college football or the NFL, week in and week out, the sixbetsagame.com data isolated betting opportunities that made me money too. These are not picks or predictions based on some inside information like all those scams that are out there. SixBetsAGame.com focuses on giving you historical data on first quarter lines, as well as first half and second half against the spread records. So if you're one of those few bettors that actually wins each week, this data will help you win even more. This is data that simply is not available anywhere else in the world, and you can get it exclusively at SixBetsAGame.com. Sure, the data helped me win, but listen to this. They paid for the entire SixBetsAGame.com website with their football winnings from last season. How many of those so-called information services can tell you that? It really is true when they say you will start winning more bets now. SixBetsAGame.com, unless you like losing.
Hi, it's Second Half Chaz from Sports Betting Weekly. And you know I spend a lot of time on the internet, especially during football season. And if you're like me, you know it's very hard to find any sports talk worth listening to. That's why I have the Mo Radio Show app on my phone. Whether it's his connections with locker room insiders or the way he covers stories like no one else will, it really is the only show I listen to all the time. Heck, now that Vicky has signed up for her fantasy league at work, she's hooked too. You can catch the Mo Radio Show live, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, at MoRadioShow.com. Or listen to the podcast whenever you want, 724, with the Mo Radio Show app available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. The Mo Radio Show app, download it today.
Now it's time. Rock on.
The Mo Radio Show.
Sports Betting Weekly.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Welcome back to Sports Betting Weekly. I'm Second Half Chaz. We have a chock full of info show for you, as always. More opinions than 1 hour can handle. We're covering today UFC 186 with Billy V, the NBA playoffs with Floppy, and Tommy will join us to talk some Major League Baseball run lines. If you want to get involved, phone number 646-929-1298. As always, Twitter handle at SB Weekly. And don't forget, you can email the show at sportsbettingweekly TalkToSloppyWeekly.com. So let's get right over to Talk to Sloppy. We're going to head on out to the Cali Comfort Barbecue Hotline. As you know, Sloppy is a pulled pork guy, and I'm more of a brisket man. What would you say, Sloppy? Was that how you describe it?
I'd say you're more of a coleslaw shooter guy.
That was good. That was good. I would imagine Sean and the crew over at Cali Comfort got to be looking forward to next Saturday, and it looks like if everything goes well, we're going to do our own real show rather than taping the calls, because it just doesn't happen, Slop, that the Kentucky Derby and one of the biggest boxing matches in a while are going to line up on the same day.
Man, not to mention day three of the draft. You got Yankees Sox that night. Just a huge day for sports.
Yep, sports books are going to be hopping. But before we talk about next week, I want to slide it a little into last week. Now, last week was a very unique week because I think if you went through, and remember, it's you were talking some hoops, Tommy was talking some MLB, and Billy V was talking some UFC. And so what happened was Billy had a few where he nailed what was going to happen, but it was the wrong fighter. But basically,
yeah,
you and Tommy didn't have any wrong. Now, Tommy bets a little different, as you know, because he does that sixbetsagame.com philosophy. And so he was betting money lines. But the bottom line is I tell you guys that you may forget that because you know what you're doing, there are people that listen to a Sloppy that don't know money lines, don't know halftime lines. If they hear you say the three teams you said, and who are they again?
Last week was the Wizards money line, Cavs, and then the Pelicans to cover the spread.
Yeah, and so what happened was the first game of the day is the Wizards, and they come out and they win the game outright. Well, don't get me wrong. You have to win outright when it's a money line, you know. But you get all the odds of no points.
And, yeah, better money. Pays off way more.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Golly gee, and I remember you said exactly that, because I went back and I listened to it. And you said, you know, you can get one and a half for every dollar.
Yep.
Take one and a half for a dollar all day long, because you know what, as they say, cash and beach trash. And so we got a few games that are going to be played Friday night, and then Saturday we're looking at there's four games, so that's a great day of basketball. Let's see if they do their good thing. They got 305, 535, 805, 1035. Unless you go quadruple overtime, you're not going to have any overlap.
No, it's a great day for basketball. You're going to pretty much
the first
watch
two
all
are TNT,
yep,
right, and the last two are ESPN. And it looks like tomorrow these teams are 5-8, 10-0.
Yeah, the road team has struggled in this playoff, except for the Wizards, I think, is the only team that started to win some road games, and then finally the Spurs won one yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to look at Atlanta, Brooklyn, Chicago, Milwaukee, Golden State, New Orleans, Memphis, Portland. It's in that order. Any of those games. Now, the first thing I would say was, you know, boom, two or three of the teams that we talked about last week are on here. So I'm assuming you've watched the games and you've got a pretty good feel for that home and away thing, because that really is it. Isn't that the most important aspect of playoff betting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you saw that last night, and the fans came out in New Orleans and just were loud as heck in that Golden State game. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold a lead, and Steph Curry showed up and hit an amazing shot in the end. But, I mean, yeah, if you get to home, it's a huge, huge advantage for some of these teams.
So in that Atlanta-Brooklyn, that's the first game now for us, because we're on the West Coast. It's 12:05, but it's a 3:05 Eastern start. Atlanta at Brooklyn. So if the Hawks lead the series 2-0, that means they won the first two games at their place.
Yes, first two games are at home. These series go 2-2, 1-1-1 is what they go. Two home, two away, and then it goes back and forth from there for the last three. So Atlanta now goes to Brooklyn for two, where Brooklyn actually is a home dog at 2.5 points. And
right. If I know nothing about these teams and I haven't watched any NBA playoff, the first thing that jumps out at me, okay, you lost the two on the road, you're coming home and you're giving points, you're probably going to get swept.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for Brooklyn. Atlanta plays such good team basketball. I just don't think Brooklyn can match up with them. And, again, I don't have a problem taking Atlanta on the road with minus that 2.5 right here. I just don't think Brooklyn can keep up with them.
It's such a small number. When you get anything under a bucket. Because, you know, remember with March Madness at the end, you were getting some, Kentucky, they were giving a lot of points.
I mean, it's an 8-1 series. I mean, it's 1 versus 8, and you're only getting 2.5 points against the 8th team that's probably squeaked their way into the playoffs.
Right.
So, I mean, I like Atlanta probably just kind of to finish that series off 3-0 and then kind of go on to sweep them.
And then speaking of 3-0, Chicago leads their series, so that means they won. This is the second game in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah. The second game, they've won the first two in Chicago, so 3 and 4 will be in Milwaukee. And this is another one where, thank goodness Derrick Rose came back. I mean, Chicago was good without him. They are great with him, and he played lights out yesterday. So this is a nice thing for the Bulls. They're just, again, another too big of a match for these guys. And I think Chicago.
I did see the highlights. He played an incredible, incredible game.
I mean, he's explosive again. I mean, he has no fear in hurting any of his knees. And I think there's another one where Chicago is going to go out and probably win this game. I don't know if 5 is enough. So, I mean, I'd probably take Chicago. I don't feel as comfortable about the Chicago game, but I do think Chicago wins this by at least 5.
Well, when you're dealing with 5 points, 5 points is a lot, but you go to the next game and it's 7.5.
Yeah, and that's I think the Pelicans just had their hearts ripped out yesterday. I mean, if anybody had a chance to watch that game, they're up 20 with 7 minutes left and could not get an offensive rebound. Pelicans were looking for a huge win. Fans would have loved it, but unfortunately, I think they just gave up in the end, and I think they gave up in the series. And I think Golden State comes out, lights out, and just finishes this off and has about 3 or 4 days break before they have to play another series.
Again, if I'm looking at this and I say, okay, these are 2-3-0 teams and 1-2-0 team, they're all on the road and they're giving points, I'm assuming they're going to crush these teams. And then I look at Portland, they're up 2-0, they're at home. Memphis is up 2-0. Portland's at home, and Portland, maybe this is the only series. I don't know where these guys are ranked on the seeding, but maybe this is the only series that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be about 2 or 3 points at home, and you're supposed to win the 4 at home and win the series.
And that's what this series is. It's your 4-5. It's supposed to be the 2 closely matched teams.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but this is one where I don't think Portland matches up with Memphis. I think Memphis is way too physical. And I'd like, that's a money line bet for me. I'd like to take Memphis and take a 3-0 lead. I just don't think Portland has the manpower to stay with Memphis.
And that's the beauty of talking to you, because, like I said, if I just pick this up and I look at it, know nothing except what they've told me, which is what time the game is, the line, and where the series stands. And then with your help, I kind of figure out who's lost. Because if you haven't lost at home, you win, usually.
Yes.
You just got to steal one on the road if you're the visitor, you know?
I believe it's the home teams are, 12-3 in this playoff so far. So be careful with it. I mean, these teams are all coming home. You think they're going to get a win. But some of these teams are on a roll and have way better matchups. So I think they can win on the road as well. And that's what
So you're basically saying you could see a 4-team road sweep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I could see Memphis coming in and beating them.
And those are all the higher seeds?
Yes. Yeah, Golden State's a 1-8 over the Pelicans, and the Pelicans, I think, had their shot to win their one game in the series yesterday and just gave it away. So I think.
No, I did see the headlines when I was at the gym, and it said, "Did Pelicans blow it?"
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what's the best part, too, Slop, about it? You can do your thing on Saturday, especially if you're, on the West Coast where it starts at noon. You can kind of do your thing, and you could bet them all separately, and then you run that 1-4-team visitor parlay. And,
yes.
By the end of the night, if it gets to that 4th game, and that's what I'll do, when you guys give me plays that are stretched out when we do the show, I'll bet the first one, second one, third one straight, and bet a 4-teamer, and then I'll sit around and wait. And if that 4-teamer's alive, I don't need to bet it straight because it's worth 10-1, you know?
Oh, absolutely. If I was to go out, I'd probably, I like the Hawks, and I like Memphis money line. Those are my two. Yeah. I kind of like those for tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, of course, like I said, next week's a big week because it's the Kentucky Derby and it is the big boxing match, the fight. So we're going to definitely plan on getting together with you. But as always, Sloppy, we appreciate your help, man.
Chaz, thanks for having me on again, buddy.
You got to remember, when you listen to Sports Betting Weekly, if you're catching it live Saturday morning, it's gold. And it has been. you know, when I'm not even giving out any of my opinions and these guys are coming in and they're just nailing you week after week after week, and you just got to listen to them and kind of translate it into what they're saying. But this next guy has really done a great, great job of helping us translate a UFC. Here's Billy V. All right, we're going to go out now to our hotline. This is the Caliente Sportsbook Hotline. Now, Billy, you didn't really ever go down to Caliente with us.
No.
We're talking to Billy V, who's been our I call him our UFC expert, but I almost feel, Billy, that I might be disrespecting you a little. I got to come up with a term that's a little higher than that, because you've really just done a great, great job of breaking down these last few weeks of UFC, just because you're doing it anyway. I mean, you watch it, you do all the work anyway, so we appreciate taking the time to, you know, tell us what you found out. You've given us some great resources, but the Tijuana aspect of it, you never really went down there with us, did you?
I'm planning on it.
Oh, let me tell you, when you wake up and they put those homemade tortillas in front of you, it's Saturday morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning, and a bucket of beers, life stops being bad no matter what your situation is, and it instantly turns to life is good. It's really just that much fun, you know? You've really done, Billy, a great, great job with the fights, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been watching the fights since UFC number one, you know, when the guy got his teeth knocked out from a kick. So, I mean, UFC's come a long way. And they've broken it down into weight classes. In the old days, you know, a 250-pound guy would be put up against a 165-pound guy. And guys like Horace Gracie would get in there and get it done against a guy that outweighed him by 100 pounds. And now that they have all these weight classes, it's evened the playing field. And it really lets the cream rise to the top. And we've got some great fights coming up this week that I'm really excited about.
Oh, I know. And just, you know, let's just go back because, you know, on the main event, you nailed it last week. But you told me you've got a new fan, huh?
Oh, Paige. What?
Or you're a new fan. You've got a new heartthrob here.
Oh, my. She just got in there and worked this girl over. And even though she threw, 200 strikes or something, over 200 strikes, she still couldn't knock the girl out. So the over worked out for us just like we thought it would. Even though I called the favorite, I have a new hero, and her name is Paige Van Zandt.
There you go.
That was. Yep.
All right. So as always, the way it works, and again, we're talking to Billy V on our Caliente Sportsbook Hotline covering UFC 186. Now we haven't had a UFC 186 again because if you're true follower of UFC, you know the things that I'm learning, and I'm learning that if it's on TNT, it's called one thing, if it's on NBC, it's called something else, and wherever it goes, they have it. But this one is the one where you have to either pay or have one of our Watch Every Game boxes where you can get it, watcheverygame.com, because it gets every single thing. But this is the real deal. This is at night, not in the morning like the last few, Billy.
Right, in Montreal, Canada. Should be a fun one to watch.
There you go. And so now, is there anything particular, because I'm looking, and again, you know, there's a dozen fights. There's each fight you can bet the person or their opponent and whether it or will not go a certain amount of rounds. Did you want to start with any particular fights?
Well, actually, I'm looking at the bottom of the card here. We have Randa Marcos and Aisling Daly. And I've watched these gals fight, and Aisling, I'm a big fan of. She's actually one of these gals that gets in there and tries to kill the other person. And so I see this fight stopping short with Aisling as the winner. And even though it's a 115-pound weight class and we preach that, you know, the smaller fighters don't end fights, this gal is right on par with Rousey, you know. She's trying to end the fight. She's not just in there just to put on a show. She's a real bulldog from Ireland.
Well, you know what? And again, understand, if you've never really looked at the UFC from a gambling standpoint, and I would imagine most people haven't, because I've been in multiple locations in my UFC career, I knew when this fight went over, which means the sports books put up a number and they say this fight will or won't go past a certain amount. Now, this is a three-round fight,
between Daly and Marcos, and the over-under is 2.5. So what that means, Philly, of course, is that once it gets through 12.5 minutes, if you bet the over, you win no matter what happens if it goes to the judges, and you believe that in those fights that they're not going to knock each other out. Once they get to the third round, they're not trying to knock each other out.
Well, whoever's behind in the fight many times will take those chances, but it's just hard to say one way or the other, to be honest.
And I think what it is and, you know, and watching fighting and watching UFC, I think, Billy, they just, you, if you know you've got the lead, you don't do anything stupid. So it's hard for me to get to you because you're not allowing me any risk. And so, but here's the thing. Daly's a big, big underdog. You get $22 if you bet $10 on her. And everybody thinks the fight's going to be over soon, Billy, because you think it's going to be under or over 2.5?
I think it's going to be under. I think Daly's
right, and that's the thing. If you
the first or second round, first or
and that is
round.
Also a favorite. Now you don't. There's not too many times that we've talked in the last month that you have given us what you think is going to happen, and on both of them we get plus money. So on the will go won't go, it's plus 170. So again, if I bet $10 on Billy's two suggestions there, I can put $20 back and I can win 39. That's like 2-1. That's almost like hitting a parlay. And it's not a parlay. And you were right with the Daly girl. When you go to UFC, remember how you taught me, Billy, where all the data is on them?
Right.
She has 87 of her fights don't go to decision.
87%.
Yep.
Do not go to decision. Yeah, see, so that yep. supports. I watched this gal fight. She's ruthless. She's mean. She's, you know, I wouldn't want to step in the ring with her. And she's going against this gal who... You say she's the underdog? Aisling Daly is the underdog in this fight.
Yeah, she's plus 220.
I believe with Randa Marcos' record only 4-2, I don't know why she has so much clout coming into the ring, where Aisling Daly has had 15 fights and has only lost 5 of them. So
I agree. She's got 20 fights versus 7. So what would be the next fight on the card you want to look at?
The next fight. I did some research on this David Michaud against Oliver Aubin Mercier. I think these are two. I don't know if these guys are both from Canada or not. But I did some research on
that. That's at 8:05. That's at 8:05. And that is still what they call the prelim. So it's not in the main card yet.
Right. And David Michaud is actually fighting out of North Dakota. So I like the American kid. He's probably comes from a wrestling background. I saw some tape on him. I think he was fighting in a heavier weight class. He's thinned down to 155. So, he's 8-1, and this Oliver kid's 5-1. So, again, we're in the 155-pound weight class. I think you'd be hard-pressed to not bet the over on this one. I think this one will go, over the two-round mark.
It's 2.5, yeah, over 2.5. And that's exactly what the sports books think is going to happen, and that's where the money is because it's minus 160. And remember, Billy, because you don't bet, we always try to help educate people. They start off these lines at whatever they start them off at, and it's just a guess, but they're really good guessers because that's what they do in Vegas. You don't pay for all those lights. You know,
you were saying there's the one bet that's the let it ride bet that I really thought was a cool bet. If you win the Aisling bet on the under – and then you bet the over on this one, and then
yep.
you can let it ride, and let it ride up to this Patrick Cote and Joe Riggs fight. Joe Riggs, he's got, 55 fights recorded here. So this guy has been in the ring.
That's a little bit later. That's at 9:20. That's at 9:20. But that is that still part of the prelims? It's still part of the prelims, right?
Right. I would imagine.
55 fights. That's a lot of
yeah.
fights.
And he's coming up against a jiu-jitsu expert in Patrick Cote. And they're both good grapplers. It looks like they both have good significant strikes landed per round. Everything on the card is pretty much even except for takedown accuracy and the takedowns. And it looks like that's going to be the deciding factor in this fight. So we're going to look to see a lot of wrestling and a lot of grappling and a lot of, you know, control of the other guy.
And let's do this because it's, Yeah, it's one of the stats that's under grappling. It's takedown average, takedown accuracy, takedowns defended, and submission average. Now, the submission average we could figure out. But what is that takedown accuracy, Billy? Explain that for us.
Well, it's like every time they try to take the guy down, it's whether they get the guy down or not. And if they try, you know, three times in one round and they only land two of those takedowns, you know, he's 66%.
There you go.
And over time, that, you know, that average does things. It goes up and down. But like I said, we're in the 155-pound weight class. Look for this one. What's our over-under on this one, Mark?
No, these guys are 170, it says, Billy. Billy, these are Patrick Cote and Joe Riggs are 170.
Flip. Yeah, these guys are big enough to knock each other out. They're big enough to submit each other. They're big enough to do these things because, you know, they might weigh in at 170. But when they walk in the
and
ring,
you're absolutely
like
right, cause
185, 190, you know.
The odds are saying exactly that, Billy. It's very, very close. You can go either way. It's minus 105 over 2.5, minus 135 under 2.5. So either way, you're laying money, but you're laying a little bit less if it goes the distance.
I don't know. I might have to go with the under on that. If they're saying 2.5 rounds, that's 12 minutes and 50 seconds of fighting.
Yeah.
I think this fight could be decided early. Both of these guys are pretty good fighters, you know. They both have the ability to end the fight. And
well, he's 40 and 15,
uh-huh.
And of his 40 fights, or 55 fights, 90% of them haven't made it to the judges for Joe Riggs.
Wow. And
that's a lot of non-decisions.
So what do we have for Mr. Cote? We might be throwing
He's actually 48%. So half of the time the fight's over, half of the time it goes to the judges.
But I'm telling you,
that's a big difference. That's a
really
big difference.
Good fighters, they're both really good, weathered opponents that have been in the ring. Like I said, you know, the guy's got 55 fights. The other guy's got 29 fights. I mean, these are the two that have been in the ring the most out of all the guys fighting tomorrow night, including Michael Bisping.
Quick question, Billy. On the UFC,
is
fight night as exciting because it's on TV as UFC 186 when it's on pay-per-view? Or is it just the fact that you can't get it unless you pay for it or know somebody that has it? Does it make it more special?
I think they do a little better cards for the pay-per-view events. I mean, you have a lot of bigger names in this fight than we did last week, for instance. Whether the fights will be bigger or better or, you know, more exciting, that remains to be seen. But they're certainly filling the card up with some big names like Michael Bisping, you know, C.B. Dalloway. That's a big fight. Then you got Quentin Rampage Jackson. I mean, come on, Mr. T. Who doesn't want to watch Mr.
Yep.
T? And then you got Fabio, who he's amazing. This guy, he just loves to get hit. He'll go in there and put his face right out and he's going to let Quentin, you know, punch him in the face a few times before he gets mad and decides to start fighting. Fabio
right.
stand there and box. And then you got Demetrius Johnson and Horiguchi.
And then that's the fight that we're going to finish with because that is the main event, correct?
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the
and
five
these guys are how big?
No, they're only 125.
Yeah. But between them, they are 36-3-1. Between them.
That's
right. Some pretty good win percentages.
Right. So what are we going to do about C.B. Dalloway and Michael Bisping?
What do you think?
I think we'll just take the over on that. Michael Bisping doesn't really... He fights good. You know, he fights mean and ruthless. And C.B. Dalloway in his own right is a great fighter, too. But I think because it's a pay-per-view event and there's a lot riding on this one, everybody's going to be watching... I think you might see a couple tentative fighters come out and fight not to lose instead of fighting to win.
And that's exactly which way the money is going, Billy. It's minus 240, and that means if you want to win $10, you got to give them $24.
Yep. And this is 185-pound weight class, so there's definitely the strength there, like we talked about, to end the fight. C.B. Dalloway is a great striker and a good wrestler. His takedowns defended are 83%, so, you know, he likes to stay up and box and punch and kickbox and all that, and so does Michael Bisping. But Michael Bisping will land takedowns just as quickly and take it to the ground. Whether Phil will be able to do that to CB, I don't think so. And that just might create this grappling match where they just kind of lock up and stay yep. against the cage. It's not going to be like a kickboxing match, in my opinion. So I like the over on that one. And then with
it
Quentin Jackson
sense.
And
it
Fabio, if you do that math like you did on the last fight, Quentin's fought 135 fights and lost 11, and Fabio's won 22 fights and only lost 7. So here we have like almost 60 or 70 fights
yep.
between these two, and they're old. They're 35 and 36 years old as far as fighters go, you know. So this is kind of like, you know, the senior league.
Well, you know, the sports book is saying that it's probably going to go to distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though they're 205 pounds, there is a chance that Quentin could land that big knockout punch, or Fabio could land a combination, and that's going to be a fun fight to watch. Just because you
yeah,
guys
most,
are only a
most
few
of their
years
fights,
away from my age.
Yeah, most of their fights are they say are about it's about 2/3 of them end, about a
so
third
we're gonna
of them
go
to the decision.
So this one's 2.5 for the over as well. It's got to
yep,
go to the
yep.
third round, 2.5 minutes into the third round
yep.
for the over.
Correct. Now, on the main event, it's 4.5. Now, like you mentioned, they are the littler guys. They're only 125. But it's a five-round fight, and it's real close. It's minus 115 under 4.5, over 4.5 minus 125. So it's almost even money. That means, Billy, that no one who's making plays on this game at the sports book or at this bout is known. They're just kind of going back and forth. And the money's just going on both sides. So this would be a real nice win because you don't have to lay a lot to win your $10.
Interesting. Well, then you're going to have to go with the champ. You know, nobody's been able to come close to knocking this Demetrius Johnson out. I can't remember one time where I was like, oh, my God, he's in trouble. You know, like Johnny Bones Jones, we've seen him almost get his arm broken. Some of the other champs, we've seen him in trouble. But I don't think one time I've seen Demetrius in a position where I thought, oh, God, he might just lose his title. So I don't see him losing this fight. How long this fight lasts is really up to him. You know, if he wants to end it early, I think he's got the power to do it. If he wants it to go all five rounds and make it like an endurance match, as many of these lightweight fights are, a lot of dancing around each other, a lot of in and out, leaping in and out. And that's what he's known for, is the speed of being like 5 feet away from the opponent and doing a leap in, like a Machida, you know, where you leap in and score
yep.
and then circle out. And that's what Demetrius Johnson does. And I don't think Horiguchi is going to be able to deal with that speed. And so, yeah, the over, even though you got to wait five rounds yep. to win that bet, you're going to have to wait five rounds, buddy.
Just remember, Billy, this is important. When the go, if it's close and it goes to the judges and you've got the over, you don't care what the judges say. You've already cashed your ticket. And
that's right.
That's what I love about the UFC.
You've cashed your ticket before the fight even ends.
There you go. There you go. You're absolutely right. All right, my man, as always, we appreciate your help and have a great, great week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Yeah, it is a full card for UFC 186. NBA playoffs, Sloppy covered them. Mo gave you some advice in terms of pitchers, but there really isn't anybody I'd rather talk to when I'm talking Major League Baseball pitchers, because Tommy joins us, and Tommy, as always, you look at the opportunities and the advantage that the house has, and you try to take some of that back. How are you doing this Saturday morning?
I'm doing great. How you doing, buddy?
Good. And so you want to look at a few games on the board. I know you mentioned some of the later games. There's three early games, Indian at Tigers and Cubs at Reds, Royals at White Sox. And then the later games, you got the Mets at the Yankees at 4:05 Eastern and Nationals at the Marlins at 4:10. And then later on, Dodgers at Padres. Now, I was out of the loop. Do you know who won last night between the Dodgers and the Padres?
You know, I don't, because I actually had a function I went to, so I don't know what happened last night between the Dodgers.
Yeah,
while
we're chatting, I'll do a little quick search on that. But so, yeah, the Mets at the Yankees, Harvey undefeated. Now, he was coming off that surgery, right?
Yeah, he's coming off Tommy John surgery, but he's looked just like he did 2013.
Yep.
So,
now, CeCe Sabathia, 0-3. So you got a 3-0 versus an 0-3. What's going on there?
Well, CeCe Sabathia pitched really, really good against Detroit on Tuesday night. He had a hard luck loss. He was winning 1-0 until the eighth, and then had two outs in the eighth. And you know, the Tigers are the Tigers. I mean, they got three or four hits strung together against them and scored two runs. And the Yankees, they're not the, you know, they're not the murderer's row anymore. I mean, they have to manufacture runs. Although lately they've been scoring runs like crazy. They put a beating on the Mets last night.
Yeah, I saw that they scored a ton of points. Actually, last night it looks like the Dodgers shut out the Padres 3-0, which is one of those old time National League West scores. You know.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a National League West score now, because those. That park is so big, and at night your chances of hitting home runs drop 40% from the daytime.
Yep.
In the daytime you have a chance to hit home runs. In the nighttime you got to really crush a ball to hit a home run at Petco Park.
Yep.
And in most of Dodger Stadium the same way, and AT&T Park, it's where the Giants play, it's the same way. And the only field you can really hit home runs at in the National League West is the Diamondback Stadium, you know, you only play, 12 games a year there if you're a Padre. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so you know, being a lifelong Mets fan when I was younger especially, the Mets-Yankees games were always a big deal, but now they have them, you know, they play a lot because of the interleague. So Harvey's undefeated, 3-0. Sabathia, tough loss, you said, but he's 0-3. What's going to happen today, you think?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the run line on this one, and you're getting Matt Harvey, like I said, who's 3-0 against CeCe, and he's +1.5, -190. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that. You give me an undefeated pitcher against a pitcher that hasn't won, and he's getting a 1.5, and although you're giving up some odds to take the bet, if you mix it in with something else. Now, the over on that game is 7, and the last 5 Yankee games, they've all gone over, and they've all gone over easy. So, I would do a parlay of the Mets. I hate to say it, because you know how, you know what a Yankee hunk I am, but I'd take the Mets +1.5 runs, and over 7 in that game, and I'd hook it up with Steven Strasburg is pitching for the Nationals tonight against the Marlins, who are back to their terrible ways. And he's -1.5 at +110. So that'll kind of equal out a little bit of the minus that you're giving up with Harvey.
Oh, and, exactly.
And I would leave the over-under alone in that game, because, you know, I just don't know if it's going to go over 7 or not. I think it could be one of those 2-0 or 3-0 games. So Strasburg, although he's not back to where he was in 2012, throwing 99 and striking out 14 a game, he's striking out 7 or 8 a game, and he's not giving up runs, and he's keeping the ball in the ballpark. So that would be a nice three-team where you take the Nationals -1.5 on the run line, +110, with the Mets +1.5 on the run line, and over 7 in the run scored. And if you want to go crazy, you can throw making a 4-teamer by tossing in tonight in the Padre Dodger game. I would take Ian Kennedy for the Padres. He's pitching great this year, +1.5 at home, and -165. So you can turn your three-teamer into a 4-teamer, and you're getting runs in 2 out of 4 of them.
Yeah, and that would be, you know, that's got to be, 7-8-1, somewhere in that range, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, right around there. You know, and anytime you can turn 100 into 600, you know, you take that,
exactly.
Right? You can train 100 for 600 any day of the week.
Yeah, and then here's the thing: when you talk about Harvey, all right, if he's at home, first of all, he is not getting 1.5; he's given 1.5. And even if you have him straight up on the money line, he's going to be a lot more than minus 190 at home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I watched the game last night for the first 7 innings that I had to leave, but there was a lot of Met fans at Yankee Stadium, and I'm thinking that it'll be the same way this time. It's kind of like a home game. I mean, he's only pitching 2 boroughs away from where, from Queens. You know, not that far between the Queens and the Bronx, and he's just a good pitcher. You know, and
now isn't the Bronx? That's where George Costanza worked, but didn't he live in Queens?
His parents lived in Queens.
He worked for the Yankees.
Yeah, he did. And I'll start celebrating the summer of George on June 21st.
Yeah, so and that's the other aspect of pitchers, focusing on pitchers, is you really do have a little bit more control when you're dealing with guys, you know, that you're naming Harvey, Strasburg, Ian Kennedy. These are guys that have proven themselves, and if they've got their stuff, you're in good shape. But you're absolutely right. If they do have their stuff, the over could be tough.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the way the Yankees have scored, the Yankees are the hottest team in baseball right now. They just went in to Detroit and took 3 out of 4. And like I said, CC had a tough luck loss, so they would have swept them 4-0. They won 10 out of the last 12. So
right.
Right now they're the hottest team in baseball. They're hitting. Their old guys are doing what their old guys are, you know, they kind of could do. Like last night, Teixeira had 2 2-run homers. Ellsbury hit a homer. Beltran had 2 triples. You know, I mean, he on his 38th birthday. So I mean, they're starting to do what they can do. But the only thing is, they're all old guys. So are they going to be there at the end of the season? Are they able to make it through? Beltran had
the
full season in 8 years.
You have made that. You've made that clear before. Is that that's the hardest part? Because they play 162 games in 183 days, and it's tough. It's tough to do anything in life that much, but especially as you get older and the demands, especially the travel. It's got to be tough when you're old and your knees and ankles and wrists and all your joints. It's always the joints, Tommy.
But they're not traveling like we travel. They're not getting on Southwest and cramming into a coach seat. They're traveling on a 747 with 35 people on it. You know,
stretched out
in bed-like chairs and
right, and they're mostly playing poker the whole time, so that would be a perfect fit for you.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, I'd be a great big leaguer if I had any talent.
And then when we get to a guy like Strasburg, I mean, you know, like you said, when he's on and he's got his heat, it's just he really, you know, because we saw him here and he was such a big thing with San Diego State. But he really is a dominating pitcher when he's on.
Yeah, and I think Tommy John surgery, I think they should start giving it to every pitcher when they're young because they all seem to need it eventually anyway. So, all right, before you get hurt, let's give you the Tommy John surgery, and then that way you'll get a 14-year major league career. You know,
preventive maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just seems like, you know, they all end up getting it anyway. So, I mean, Tim Hudson, who's also pitching today for the Giants, he's had 2 Tommy John surgeries.
Yep.
He's closing in on 40, and he's still a dominant pitcher. You know, the guy that it's named after, Tommy John, before he had that surgery, he was a mediocre pitcher.
Yep.
After he had that surgery, he won 200 games.
He was Tommy John.
Exactly.
You know that name.
He ended up with 288 wins, and I still think he should be a Hall of Famer. He never got to the 300 win mark, but I still think, you know, he should be a Hall of Fame pitcher, Tommy John.
No, I would agree with you 100%. And just for the fact that, you know, what you know, you can't cover baseball in a year and not hear his name dozens and dozens of times, because it is the wave, like you said, of the current pitcher situation, you know.
I think anybody with a procedure named after him should get in the hall. Like Lou Gehrig, he's in there. Lou Gehrig's disease, he's in the hall.
Yeah. the thing about you know, Tommy John surgery is these guys, sometimes they're making, you know, 8 figures a year, and they take off a year and a half to have the surgery. I mean, it's just a major investment all the way around from the team, for the player. About the only guy who really doesn't have any risk involved is the doctor, you know?
Yeah, and you know, baseball players, you know, they don't get paid when they're hurt. I mean, they get paid when they're hurt. So I mean,
right? No, yeah, it's not like football. Yep.
Yeah, they can't cut you because you're hurt like football.
They just keep coming in. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so as we recap and close down the show for this week, you got Sloppy gave out all the visitors. Tommy, he said the visitors, he's liking all the visitors. And then Billy V gave out some real strong plays with the UFC tonight. I'm not sure if you're going to be down there. If you do, you know, tell Billy to say hello for us. And then you, of course, are going to go with some pitchers. Harvey getting 1.5, Strasburg giving 1.5, the over in that Yankee game. And if you're still live coming into the late game with the Padres hosting the Dodgers, take the home team, take 1.5, hit a 4-teamer, take your $600 for your 100, and call it a day.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a plan. We'll talk to you next week for the Kentucky Derby, Tommy.
Sounds great. Can't wait for it.
All right, bye-bye.
Take it.
All right, so as always, Tommy's insight, you know, really from more of a sixbetsagame.com, which is the whole philosophy of, hey, they have the advantage. The house knows what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time. They win millions and millions of dollars every time the results come out for their quarter when they're public companies and they got to say what they've won. They crush it. So, you know what? It's time for us to take some of the advantage back. This is Sports Betting Weekly. I'm Second Half Chaz. Always be cashing.